still are in need of actually $825, $825 to make our goal this morning, 800-222-9739 or WPFWFM.org are the ways to connect. You can also text WPFWFM to 801-801, and you are in tune to WPFW Washington.
Dismantle some 15 federal agencies. Is Social Security on the chopping block? There's a wild conspiracy theory that says there's a Silicon Valley billionaire plot to level the federal government and install Elon as CEO. And the fate of the free press in America. Can your favorite public stations survive? Good morning, good morning, and welcome to What's at Stake. I'm Verna Avery Brown. Well, let me first inform you that we are in the midst of our winter pledge drive. And if you feel so moved to make a pledge while you're listening, the number to call is 202-588-9739. You know, every day since Trump was inaugurated, we wake up to a diminished version of America. Trump has now declared that he, the president, and the attorney general get to decide what is law. And he says, quote, he who saves the country is not breaking the law. So we're supposed to just ignore Article 1, Section 1 of the U.S. Constitution, which states, quote, all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States. It further states the chief function of Congress is the making of laws. Yet according to Trump, now he and the attorney general, who he selected, make the laws. The lines between the three branches of government designed to create a separation of powers, the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch are becoming blurred. If Trump wakes up tomorrow morning and decides to ignore any potential court orders leveled against him and his team, legal analysts say we'll have a constitutional crisis full blown on our hands and may well have slipped into an autocracy. Meanwhile, Elon Musk, his co-president, who Trump now claims is not the head of Doge, but is a White House employee and a senior advisor to the president, but whatever his title is, Musk has taken a wrecking ball to some 15 federal agencies, fired thousands of federal workers, including immigration judges who will be needed to work a backlog of pending immigration cases, numbering over 3.5 million. The Musk team of 19-year-olds fired approximately 300 nuclear weapons experts that provide oversight of the country's nuclear stockpile. They realized what a huge mistake that was and tried to unfire them, but didn't have any way to contact them. 19-year-olds. Well, Trump has issued a 14-day deadline for schools and universities to eliminate their diversity programs or lose federal funding. The retail company Target eliminated its DEI program voluntarily and took a hit. A combination of factors, including investors, lawsuits, backlash from cancellation of a Pride Month campaign, and a boycott by Black consumers left Target with a loss of $15.7 billion of market value after share prices fell 22% on November in 2024. Now, those figures don't likely reflect the additional impact of the Black boycott that began vigorously in 2025 and continues in earnest today. Following Trump's orders to eliminate diversity hires could prove to have negative consequences in the military as well, as we hear in this Jesse Dolomar podcast.
Here's the headline. Military drops recruiting efforts at prestigious Black Engineering Awards event. Prestigious Black Engineering event that I think they said was like ripe with talent. It's the most dense talent venue. Here's the article. The Army and other service branches are abandoning recruiting efforts at a prestigious Black Engineering event this week, turning down access to a key pool of highly qualified potential applicants amid President Donald Trump's purge of diversity initiatives in the military. thousands of qualified, highly skilled participants. So what's the reason? They're black. Are they qualified? Yes. Are they highly skilled? Yes. Are they sought after? Yes. Would they benefit the military? Yes. But because they're black, we're not going to seek them. We're not going to try to recruit them because they're black, in spite of the fact that they have a specialization, a skill set that is wildly needed by our government. But because they're black, they're not being hired. And we're going to finish with that quote I read earlier. It's fucking racist, one active duty Army general told military.com, on the condition of anonymity to avoid retaliation. For the Army now, it's blacks need not apply, and it breaks my heart.
Jesse Dolomer podcast. Well, America has long enjoyed a free press where, unlike some communist-ruled countries, journalists are not jailed and tortured for the stories they report on. But under the Trump administration, news organizations are not exempt from his revenge agenda. And while Elon Musk has no authority to put anyone in jail, he has repeatedly suggested that disfavored journalists deserve to be jailed. Courtney Hagel is the research director for Media Matters. Good morning, Ms. Hagel, and welcome to What's at Stake.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So Elon Musk and his Doge agency, even though the administration now claims he's not the head of Doge, they have taken a wrecking ball to at least 15 different federal agencies, according to ABC News. And while media operations in this country are independent, probably with the exception of Voice of America, Trump and Musk and his minions have also targeted broadcast companies. Update us on some of the hits that news organizations have taken under Trump 2.0.
Yeah, so the Trump administration is definitely poised to target media outlets whose coverage they don't agree with. His FCC chairman, Brendan Carr, specifically is poised to target progressive and public media outlets, as well as any mainstream outlet whose coverage they don't like. Recent moves include the FCC investigating a San Francisco radio station for its reporting on ICE, targeting CBS for a 60 Minutes Kamala Harris interview during the campaign, investigating NPR and PBS over their airing of commercials, and threatening to investigate Comcast over DEI principles, which is the parent company of NBC and MSNBC.
Also, somebody's reporter is being blocked from the Pentagon workspace as well, are they not?
Yeah, absolutely. So in addition to the investigations, reporters are being barred from briefing rooms. You know, there's also more lawsuits going on, settlements made by media outlets as a form of kind of, you know, potentially capitulating in advance and that sort of thing. So he's definitely, the administration is preparing to settle scores with journalists and media outlets they don't like. The Associated Press is another fight currently playing out, where they are using language different than the Trump administration wants pertaining to the Gulf of Mexico. And so they're also targeting Associated Press.
So basically, they have said the Associated Press, what, can't be allowed into to cover anything because they won't rename it the Gulf of America or whatever it is they want to.
Yeah, so the Associated Press has a style guide that many media outlets reference to, you know, draft and write their content. And so their style guide calls for continuing to call it the Gulf of Mexico. So that is where the Trump administration is, you know, getting upset about. And AP has made it clear that this is retaliation over AP not covering something the way they want.
And have we seen any camaraderie or on the part of the news organizations to maybe stand up to this kind of treatment and, you know, and put pressure? I would imagine Trump would not be happy if nobody covered his so-called news conferences, press conferences, et cetera.
Right. You know, that's what we're kind of seeing play out right now. The White House press corps has, you know, come out with a statement, which is the group that represents all of the press that attends briefings and whatnot. So they've defended the Associated Press. But, you know, it's interesting to see how different outlets are responding to these kind of pressures, threats, and that sort of thing.
So the newly appointed chair of the Federal Communications Commission, Brendan Carr, wrote the media section on Project 2025, and it names NPR, actually our network, Pacifica Network, and public TV in their report. So aside from stripping federal dollars from a broadcast entity, which is what they can do in NPR and the public radio, public broadcasting case, what might the FCC do to compromise or cripple a company, for example, like Pacifica and WPFW, from broadcasting?
Right. Well, we saw a bit of this play out towards the end of the first Trump administration, where he purged the Voice of America leadership and replaced it with ideologically conservative replacements. So, you know, that's kind of one way that they can kind of not just defund these outlets, but defund them and then build them back up as conservative media outlets. And again, this is a decades long project. The, you know, target of public broadcasting has been around in conservative circles since at least the 1990s. The Heritage Foundation and the Manhattan Institute are key institutions. And so the goal has always been to systematically take over, you know, these kind of mainstream media outlets, starting with public broadcasting, which is where they have the most control, and replacing them with conservative media.
But if they don't control our funding, what tools do they have available to actually compromise our, I mean, they can go after our license, you know, on what grounds could the license be challenged? Because we no longer offer premiums to our listeners because the FCC already has us on a strict order that essentially prevents us from offering premiums to our listeners. So what else can they, how can they go after our license?
Yeah, we're seeing them go after parent companies for broadcasting organizations. You know, I mentioned Comcast for NBC. And so, you know, they can just hammer lawsuits. They can try and, you know, install their own people and more ideologically minded individuals. So I think that's kind of what we're waiting to see play out, how they're actually able to do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can't install any people in our network. But you're saying they could sue us.
Yeah, they can sue you and tie you up with lawsuits. You know, that's kind of a part where the funding comes in from some of the billionaire allies in the White House and that sort of thing. But it's hard to say exactly specifically how they might target, you know, one show or network versus the other. But they seem to be employing, you know, a wide range of tactics.
So could they simply revoke a license and sell the signal to the highest bidder?
You know, I can't speak exactly to where that's something that they'd be able to do, but that's something that I could certainly see them trying to do, yes.
Mm. And if the Trump administration is successful in blocking reporters who ask questions he doesn't like from access to press conferences, and the news organizations as afraid of lawsuits that might wind up in front of Trump's Supreme Court, basically, and public broadcasting is wiped out because of lack of federal funding, what do you think will happen to America's free press in this country?
You know, it's really hard to say. It's very a bleak landscape you just described. In terms of the briefings, I think we can expect to see a lot of conservative media outlets fill the gap. We're already seeing, you know, outlets like Breitbart, Fox News, Newsmax replace a lot of and get more access. I think that we can also see a lot more fracturing of the media. We already see a lot of people turn to podcasts and streamers for their news. And so, you know, I think that'll increase. We'll also probably see progressive and independent media continue to split and fracture and kind of, you know, branch off into smaller individual reporting ventures, and everything will just be a lot less consolidated.
And then I would imagine, did you mention that social media, the role of social media?
Yeah, social media, you know, will continue to be a big driver. Again, so many people report getting their news from social media, podcasts, streamers, and these people feel like journalists, but it's not always exactly the same.
And also, it's social media has actually been weakened under Trump 2.0. Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg has now agreed to abandon fact-checking on that platform. And he has been noted in attendance at Mar-a-Lago since the inauguration, sort of kissing the ring of Trump.
Yeah, a lot of that is responding to the current political landscape. In the first Trump administration, there was a much stronger sense that resisting Trump was better for business. Now, a lot of CEOs seem to have flipped and think that, you know, like you said, kissing the ring of Trump is better for business. So, you know, Mark Zuckerberg is a really good example of that. The kind of algorithms and that sort of thing on Facebook have never been that strong in terms of content moderation. There's always been holes and gaps. Media Matters has been calling out for years, but Mark Zuckerberg's kind of framing it as, you know, the left has been a little too critical of Facebook and now kind of all bets are off. He's fully aligning with the Trump's attacks on Facebook and content moderation, even though the narrative that Facebook and social media overwhelmingly targets conservatives is, you know, not true. We've documented that for years, that conservatives actually enjoy a lot of engagement on social media. Facebook, a lot of the most popular posts have always been, or for the most part, have always been conservative media outlets and figures. So that's kind of an example of how the right games the refs, as we like to say. They yell for years and years that conservatives are being censored on social media. And then now we're at the point where social media outlets are responding to that.
Well, we also see where Trump is trying to buy TikTok and reshape it into his own image. And of course, Musk owns X. So will we simply end up with only a state-owned press in this country, do you think?
You know, it's definitely a concern. I still have hope in progressive and independent media, shows like the one I'm on right now. You know, there's still a lot of really strong print reporting. Lately, I've been liking to read outlets like The Wired, ProPublica. You know, there's still journalists who are really focused on doing the work, doing the investigative work and that sort of thing to hold the Trump administration accountable. But I do worry about the future of much of the media landscape and it kind of being consolidated under conservative and state-owned leadership.
Well, what do you think? What role has right-wing news media have they played in the election and the re-election of Donald Trump?
Oh, right-wing media has been completely instrumental. You know, Fox News is essentially a advisor arm of the Trump administration. In terms of media specifically, conservative media has spent years systematically undermining mainstream media in a similar attempt to replace it with conservative media. You know, just last night, Donald Trump was on Sean Hannity's Fox News show, and he called CNN, MSNBC, AP, PBS, and CBS unconstitutional and the enemy. This is language you see all across conservative media, again, for years and years. Another recent scandal was the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, claimed to have uncovered that the government funds Politico. In reality, the government pays for employees to have subscriptions to Political Pro, which is a premium service focused on policy. But the right framed it as the biggest scandal of them all, perhaps the biggest in history. And this is just a language they use relentlessly. So their audience is extremely primed to distrust any form of mainstream journalists. There's always an explanation to counter any reporting. If there's reporting that's unfavorable to the Trump administration, you know, such as all of these mass firings, you know, they just obscure it. Sometimes they won't even cover it because they operate as a propaganda arm for the Republican Party and the Trump administration.
So what's your biggest concern, Courtney, for the future of media under the Trump administration?
Oh gosh, there's a lot. But yeah, no, I would say pretty much exactly what you said. I really worry that this conservative propaganda ideology is just going to capture large segments of the media landscape. And that includes public broadcasting through the FCC. That includes cable news like CNN and MSNBC, who are owned by parent companies who might capitulate to Trump further. They can capture social media. Like you said, they've already got X and Facebook and are working on TikTok. The Trump administration is boosting a lot of podcasters and streamers. So, you know, we've been tracking the conservative media's impact on the political landscape since 2004 when Media Matters was founded. And we've really only seen it continue to expand and grow.
Courtney Hagel, Research Director for Media Matters. Courtney, thank you for being our guest this morning on What's at Stake.
Thank you very much for having me.
So joining me in the studio now is WPFW Program Director, Katia Stitt. Good morning, Katia.
Good morning, Verna. Excellent interview and quite informative. It looks bleak, but you know, we the people have the power. This is what I still believe. We, the independent media, have the power. Democracy Now! Just celebrated 29 years and WPFW going on 48. So this is really the time for people to step up and protect independent media like yes. never before.
That's right. You know, this is probably the most important pledge drive probably in the history of WPFW. There's so much at stake in our nation today that we've witnessed in contemporary history. Our democracy, free press, we just heard, is literally slipping away before our very eyes. But WPFW has always been a protector of free speech and radical thought. We bring you the rare, uncensored space for deep political discussions. As long as there are revolutionary voices, we will present them to you. We will give them the mic. The number to call is 202-588-9739. That's 202. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I was going to say, yep, 202-588-9739. If you prefer that 800 number, I don't really know the difference now these days with cell phones, but it is 800-222-9739. Or you can go online to wpfwfm.org. And you know, Verna, our listeners have come through so beautifully this pledge drive. I have no doubt that the $500 goal that you have this morning will be exceeded because they will understand the importance. I mean, the importance is embedded in the name of your program. This is why you founded What's at Stake, to talk about the issues that threaten us, but also the issues where we can resist, so the spaces where we can resist and what we can do about it. And so, you know, it was a troubling interview that just happened in terms of the information that we gained, but it also gave us a clear path in a way of what we need to do. And what we need to do in this moment is now more than ever before. She named some outlets that are doing the good work. We need to continue to strengthen them. We also need to continue to strengthen Pacifica Radio as a whole, and in particular, WPFW, which is right here. In the belly of the beast.
Yes, absolutely. You know, this is when we really need your support. We heard where she mentioned that, you know, they may decide to target Pacifica with lawsuits. We will need to have our reserves built up in the event that that happens. Any donation that you can offer this morning is welcome, no matter how small or how large. If you're in a position to give more, give for the listener that can't give right now.
Absolutely.
Just give from your heart. 202-588-9739. Again, that's 202-588-9739. And that 800 number, Katia?
800-222-9739. And you can also, of course, text to donate at 801-801. That's the number to text. And just enter WPFWFM and the prompts will come up. It takes a minute, less than a minute to do, and you'll feel so wonderful after doing it. And as Verna mentioned, those of you in our listening audience that have done well and you want to do something great for your community, really something critical at this juncture,
yes,
for independent media and your community, for those who cannot afford to pledge but vitally need this information, step up now. Be in solidarity with us now. This is your time to be the resistance. You may not be in the streets. You may not be lobbying Congress. Many of us feel the chaos, right? And we're kind of floundering and we don't know what to do. You can do something constructive, and that will help to calm and settle and center you, knowing that you helped independent media this morning, knowing that you supported and helped to WPFW and what's at stake to thrive by pledging your support. $500 to go. We can do this. Many hands make that light work. Again, 800-222-9739 or online at WPFWFM.org. These are the ways to connect. We still are looking for that first pledge. So please give us a call. Give us a click now. Show Verna and her team of excellent producers that you support their great and important work.
That's right, because I am not the only host on What's at Stake. We also have Dr. Marcia Coleman Adebayo, who will be joining us next week with some exciting news about the battle that they are launching for the burial ground of ancestors in the area. We also have Fahima Sek, Professor Fahima Sek, who joins us on the 5th Wednesday of every month. And soon to be joining our team is Reverend Mark Thompson. He'll be joining in March. So we need your support. We have boycotts underway as resistance, and marches are scheduled, and we need to protect our precious resource like WPFW. Project 2025 has already named Pacifica our parent network in its document, and the man who wrote the media section for Project 2025 is now the new chairman of the FCC, Brendan Carr. And the FCC has already put WPFW and Pacifica on a strict ruling, which caused us to stop offering premium gifts. So now the programmers, our programmers are our premiums.
That's so, right. Our programming, but you know, Verna, if I just can make a slight correction there, our programming has always been the gift. It is always the gift. Our stellar programming, the investigative journalism that you get here at WPFW, the fact-based journalism, the incredible music that uplifts, inspires, enlightens, and helps, it is a call to resistance, really, the music that we play. We play jazz, born out of resistance, born out of the Black experience, you know? So, and all of its other extensions we play. And so this is what WPFW has always been. This is our sweet spot, if you will. And What's at Stake is absolutely in that flow. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. Give the gift of independent media. We need it now more than ever. And Verna, if I could just take a moment. Today, by the way, is a National Day of Action. You heard about the federal workers taking action today. It's a National Day of Action across the country. You can take action right now by pledging your support to WPFW, to that which sustains you, pledging your support to What's at Stake, to that which informs you and allows you to calibrate how you move in this world under a new world Trump order. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM. And that rally, by the way, is at noon.
And you can also use your Cash App, the $ WPFWFM. So we want to thank you. Thank you, Katia, for joining us to encourage our listeners. Well, you know, Trump said repeatedly throughout his campaign that he would not touch Social Security. But yesterday, he directed Elon Musk, his co-president, to investigate it. Musk has alleged there's a tremendous fraud in the system that needs to be rooted out. There are 70 million Americans collecting their Social Security, and the vast majority of them are alive and well. If you don't believe me, try cutting those payments. You'll see what happens. So Nancy Altman is president of Social Security Works. Good morning, Ms. Altman, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
So Elon Musk says there are tens of millions of dead people receiving checks from Social Security, but he has not provided any receipts. In other words, no proof. What's the truth? Because I know there are probably...
There's a good reason he hasn't provided any proof, because of why. The reality is that Social Security is an extremely well-managed, efficient program. There is less than 1% of the payments that go out are either a little bit too large or too small. And when they're too large, they get clawed back. The idea that there's fraud, it's vanishingly small. Now, it shows Elon Musk's ignorance that he thinks there are all these dead people, you know, people somehow 150-year-olds getting benefits. The reality is that as soon as someone dies, Social Security terminates the benefits, but also provides survivor benefits. And so that can go on very long after a person has died. So, for example, do you know when the last Civil War pension, monthly pension benefit was paid? It was paid in 2020 because there was an adult disabled daughter of a Civil War vet who died in 2020. So there is so much misinformation, but it's all part of a plan. It's a plan to steal Social Security.
But so now that situation, this situation you just described, is that being miscalculated as someone dead and still getting paid because it's being paid to her to the daughter?
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, the other crazy thing is that the Social Security system is a legacy system. It should be upgraded, but it hasn't because Congress hasn't given it the money. But the it is a system called COBOL, and when in that system, if you don't have the exact day of the date of birth, or it's the field's not filled in, it automatically populates. You know what populates with? May 20th, 1875. That's not someone who was born in 1875. It's just that the way the program is worked, because it can't have a blank. So Elon Musk goes in and goes, oh, all these 150-year-olds now, it's very interesting. They were all born on May 20th, but I guess they were. I mean, he doesn't know what he's talking about, but he has all kinds of conflicts of interest. But he and Donald Trump want tax breaks. They want to make themselves wealthier, and they want to reach into our pockets and steal our Social Security. And part of the way they're trying to do it is to undermine confidence in a program that has vanishingly small fraud or waste.
Now, you were saying earlier, and I interrupted you, that they want to steal it. Now, there are reports that the money they need money to fund Trump's tax cuts from his first term, and that those cuts actually expire in December of this year, and that they're looking to Social Security to come up with the money to fund that. Are you aware of that particular strategy that may be used? We have heard where some Republicans admit they've discussed cutting Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, as well as veterans benefits, in order to pass that tax cut agenda of Trump's, so that they can extend that money to billionaires. Tell us what you know about that, or what you believe to be true.
I hate to say it, it's even worse than you're describing. So they are currently, Congress, the Republicans in Congress, are currently working on something called a reconciliation package. And really what that means is that they can pass the legislation without any Democratic votes, and it can be signed into law. And they are looking at deep cuts in Medicaid. Those are working their way through right now, and we'll see how far they go, but we're mobilizing against these deep cuts in Medicaid. They have threatened Medicare and Social Security, but they understand how popular those programs are and how even MAGA Republicans, who tend to trend older, tend to be rural, tend to be even more dependent on Social Security, that it's a very touchy subject, which is why Donald Trump ran around in his campaign and sent out flyers saying he would not cut Social Security, when in his first term in office, every single one of his budgets proposed cuts to Social Security, and Congress didn't go along. So, but what really scares me is what you were talking about in your intro, and that is what happened just this weekend, which is the acting commissioner of Social Security, who is extremely well-respected, very nonpartisan, very qualified, was very cooperative with the Trump administration, had been in the agency for over 30 years, and so had not worked with Republican administrations, including the former Trump administration, first Trump term. But there was one way she drew the line. She politely rejected their request, their demand that they go into all of our personal data and just rummage around. She, as a result, was replaced with a Doge sympathizer who the Trump administration, Donald Trump passed over, leapfrogged about 120 more qualified people and put this guy, Leland Duda, as the current acting commissioner of Social Security. That's who's currently acting. And the reason he had only one qualification, and that is he opened Social Security to Elon Musk and his minions to go rummaging around in our benefits. And that is very dangerous. And that could lead to them cutting our benefits without our even knowing it and without Congress being involved. It would be illegal, but they've shown themselves to do all kinds of illegal things, including stopping all kinds of payments all across the world that the Congress has already appropriated.
So, Social Security is not really money that the government is giving seniors out of the goodness of their hearts. It's money that seniors earned while working over the course of their careers and their lifetimes. It's our money. I'm a senior. Can Congress or the co-president even legally cut Social Security?
Well, you're saying an important point that the American people understand, but somehow our policymakers, the Republicans in Washington, don't seem to quite get. And that is, as you say, Social Security does not add a penny to the deficit. In fact, it currently, according to the most recent trustees report, has a $2.8 trillion surplus. You don't usually hear that about Washington government programs, but Social Security cannot run a deficit. It is, by law, it can't pay benefits unless it can pay every penny, not only of the benefits, but of the associated administrative costs. But Congress does have jurisdiction over Social Security. So what they will claim is they're doing it to save Social Security. They're not doing it to give tax cuts. And technically, if they were to cut Social Security, it simply increases that surplus. But the point is, they will convince too many Americans that Americans should be on guard for this. Anybody talks about saving Social Security, hold on to your wallet, because Social Security does not need saving.
Well, now, the former head of the Social Security Administration said on MSNBC that the real threat to Social Security is that Musk will fire so many of the employees that getting the checks out on time will be impossible.
You know, the program, as I say, it is doesn't add a penny to the deficit. And that's true of the administrative costs, all our field offices and all the employees who work to answer our questions, answer the phones and so forth. But the agency has been starved by for the last decade or so. Congress doesn't appropriate a penny for the administration, but what it does is enact what's called an LAE. That's a limitation on administrative expenses. How much of that $2.8 trillion surplus can be spent on administration? And the agency has been starved. So it is staffing level currently, even without, before Musk gets in there, is at a 50-year low, just at a point where 12,000 baby boomers turn 65 every single day.
So Nancy Altman, what is your best guess? Do you think Social Security is on the... on the cutting board?
Well, I think the Republicans...
I
think Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and his colleagues in the Congress want it to be, But the American people don't, even his voters, do not want that. So we've got to make sure that it's transparent and that people demand oversight. There has to be oversight of Elon Musk and his minions rummaging around in our, on our files. They have access to all our social security numbers. They have access to our bank records when we have direct deposits. They have, for those who have applied for disability, they'll have access to our medical benefits. They should, there's no legitimate reason they have any of that. And we've got to make our voices heard, including the most conservative among us.
Nancy Altman, President of Social Security Works, thank you so much for joining us this morning on What's at Stake.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll be back in a moment.
Peace. This is your social justice calendar for the week of February 17th, 2025. On February 20th at 1 p.m. to 2:30, the D.C. Guaranteed Income Coalition will hold a Black History Month celebration to encourage D.C. towards a path out of poverty. It will be at 2500 Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue, Southeast D.C. More info can be found at dcgicoalition.org. On Saturday, February 22nd, there will be a State of the Black Child Community Town Hall held at 5 p.m. located at 2004 Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue, Southeast D.C., 20020. More info can be found on busboysandpoets.com. Also on Saturday, February 22nd at 6 p.m., DCAARPR presents a people's hearing on policing and public safety at 901 G Street Northwest MLK Library Auditorium. More info can be found on Instagram at DMVPYM. The WPFW Social Justice Calendar connects you with the heartbeat of grassroots activism in the DMV. Submissions can be emailed to socialjustice@wpfw.org. Please include the name, date, and address of the event. Submissions are due by Thursday at 5 p.m. at least 1 week in advance of your event. If you value this social justice calendar, please make a donation for our winter pledge drive by going to wpfwfm.org and clicking the red donate button. Thank you.
And welcome back to What's at Stake. I'm Verna Avery Brown. And our phenomenal program director, Katia Stitt, is also joining us. Good morning, Katia.
Good morning, Verna. And again, another exceptional interview, informative, inspiring, giving us the tools to do what we need to push back on what is happening around our Social Security. And again, the interviewee made it very clear, your guest made it very clear, it is our Social Security. Mm-hmm. So we have to stand up and resist, again, this on so many fronts. But one way we're asking you to resist right now is to call and make that pledge of support. We are still in need of someone to get us started with the $500,
oh, 800. Wow, no listeners have called in yet.
Well, but we don't know. They might have done the text to donate. They might have done the Cash App. You know, it's a 21st century world, Verna. So we can't see those. But what we can see is when they call or when they go online. And I'm confident that folks will do that for you, for the excellent journalistic work that you do. 800-222-9739. You can also go online to WPFWFM.org. It is quick and easy. And the best way to be part of the resistance. And that is what we need right now. We need you to protect independent media in the nation's capital, protect programming, fine programming, informative, mm-hmm. fact-based programming like What's at Stake.
That's right. Well, you know, speaking of programming, WPFW has the highest ratings of all of the five Pacifica sister stations, and that's largely due in part to our phenomenal program director, Katia Stitt, who you hear on the air with me right now. Actually, it's higher than all four of the stations put together. Extremely proud to be working with Katia. And of course, she is on the air on Wednesday mornings from 6 to 8. Is it 6 to 8 a.m., Katia, your show?
5 to 8. But
oh, 5
was
to
on
8.
This morning,
wow.
But we were together. Yeah, 5 to 8 a.m. I co-host with Herb Taylor. So we are kindred spirits musically and politically.
And so, you know, we are in the midst of this winter pledge drive, and we really do need your support, listeners. We need you. This is not just any pledge drive. It's probably one of the most important pledge drives in our history, given the state of political affairs in our country. And,
you know, whether you were one of the 78 million Americans that voted for Kamala Harris or not, you have to give her and the Democrats credit for warning that our very democracy was on the line in this election. Some people complain, saying that message doesn't resonate with voters. People want to know what you're going to do about the price of eggs. Well, now you can buy your eggs, but what about the cost of our democracy? WPFW provides a platform for radical out-of-the-box thinking and discussions. We are independent and unbought journalism. Project 2025 has listed our network. They've got their site. We're in their sites. They've targeted us in their document, and they've already started investigating the other two public radio and television networks that were also listed. But the difference is they can't cut our federal funding because we don't get any. You are our funding. You,
that's right,
the listeners. You are our funding, our funders. Yep. Call 202-588-9739 and make a pledge.
Continue. And you are, I was going to say, you know, in the language of Elon Musk and the oligarchs, you are our shareholders. We are beholden only to you. And that is a beautiful thing. Verna, Gary and Sheila heard us in Bowie, Maryland. They say, keep doing what you do. We need your voice. Thank you so much for getting us started.
Gary and Sheila are very special people in my life. Thank you. Well, thank you for that.
That's even more beautiful. Thank you for being part of the resistance now as well, Gary and Sheila. $350 to go, folks. We can do it. We have 14 minutes to go, or more than, oh, you know, without glasses. Yes, 14 minutes to go. 14 minutes to go. 800-222-9739. Many hands do make light work. That has always been the tradition here at WPFW. It's a tradition in how we program, how we get to great programming. It is all of us. It is not just the program director, not just the general manager, not just the development people, not just the engineers. It's all of us together. It's like over 100 programmers that try their best to bring you their A games every single week. And so we ask you to support this excellent program. What's at stake? 800-222-9739. Only $350 to go. We can do this
together,
folks.
Thank you for that generous pledge, Gary and Sheila. And we know that there are others of you out there that appreciate this. We need you now. This is the time. Take that, make that call. 202-588-9739. Or go to Cash App, $WPFWFM, or you can even go online if you're listening online, WPFWFM.org. So make the pledge. Now is the time. This is one way you can resist. Help to keep this platform available and free. Keep us on the air and unencumbered. By, you know, we're brave, we're courageous, we're committed. We're not going to be cowed. We're unbought, but we need you to have our backs. We need you in this struggle with us. Go to your phone right now and make the call. Katia?
That's right, 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org, $350 to go. We can still get this together, folks, about 10 minutes left in the program. Let's make Verna proud. She's making us proud. What's at stake makes us proud. Let's make her proud that we stepped up and showed out this morning and resisted and protected independent media. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org, $350 to go.
And so, thank you, Katia. Finally, there's a radical conspiracy theory that's making its rounds in social media. A so-called Silicon Valley plot involving billionaires, which is pulling strings to level our federal government and install Elon Musk as the CEO, allowing him to run the country freely as pretty much a dictator. Here, let's take a listen to Majority Report with Sam Sedor and Emma Vigeland.
Last year, I started looking into something called the network state, which is an ideology of tech supremacy that holds that tech CEOs should use their wealth and power in the 21st century to basically take control of the world. They believe that nation states and democracies are an outdated software for the planet and that they should take over existing governments and hollow them out or else start their own sovereign countries by taking territories around the world that they can buy with their vast wealth. As part of this ideology, they see a future in which nation states will collapse and democracies will be abandoned in favor of corporate dictatorships. And this is not something that I've dreamed up or found in a secret document. They write about this stuff in books. They talk about it on long podcasts. They make YouTube videos about it, you name it. They've been very, very loud about it, and no one was really taking them seriously.
To that point, who is Curtis Yarvin?
Curtis Yarvin is a software programmer from San Francisco who in the early 2000s started writing a weird blog under the name Minchus Molebug. And in that blog, he outlined a lot of these ideas for getting rid of democracy in favor of a corporate monarch or dictator and running territories instead of by government, by corporation. And so Yarvin's idea is that Americans have to get over their dictator phobia, he said. And the way that we do that is by installing a CEO to be like the shadow president and to destroy American government from within through something he calls RAGE, R-A-G-E, retire all government employees. And that's very much what you see happening right now through D-O-G-E, DOGE, destruction of government by Elon, in Washington as we speak.
Okay, so that is the majority report. You will be hearing more about Curtis Yarvin on What's at Stake and his unique relationship with our vice president, J.D. Vance, as well as Elon Musk. They are all connected. So this is a conspiracy theory, and it's up to you to decide how much weight to give it. I want to remind our listeners that we are a platform for progressive organizing. With the ongoing erosion of civil rights and economic justice, activists need a media home that elevates their struggles and victories, and WPFW provides that space, whether it's labor movements, housing, justice, or voting rights. We are that space. And Katia, are you there? Did you?
I'm right here. Yes, okay. I want to thank some folks, Verna. We want to thank them. We want to say thank you for letting us be ourselves this morning. We want to say thank you to Joan out of Tacoma Park, Maryland. Thank you. So, my neighborhood. Thank you, Joan. And Faye Allen out of Atlanta, Maryland, getting us ever so close. 1:50 to go,
thank
folks.
Thank you, Joan. Thank you, Faye.
9 minutes, 1:50. We can do it, y'all. Do we have just, 10 people in the house pledging? Oh, no, my math is, I was never good at math. 20 people in the house pledging $10. If we have 10 people in the house pledging $20, but we also know there are those of you who can do so much more. You can do $1,000, $2,000, whatever is in your heart and your wallet to give. Give it now because we want to make this goal and we're inching our way three. We're inching our way there. We want to thank Scott Free from DC. Thank you so much, Scott, for getting us closer. 1:40 to go, folks. 8 minutes to do it. Let us do this together. Let us make this goal for Verna. She has put in such incredible work and she's about to bring you more. You heard the preview. We need to be on top of all of this. And, Verna, it's a beautiful day. Leonard Peltier is home with his family. You heard him this morning on Democracy Now! Saying that he has resisted for 50 years. He's ready to do it for 50 more. They will never win. He will fight until we're free. Let us do the same. Let us take up that spirit, that energy of our dear brother, Leonard Peltier. Let us take up the spirit of those working with United We Dream and Muslims for Just Future, protecting our immigrant brothers and sisters and family to make sure they are safe. Let us take up the mantle of truth and justice that Malcolm instilled in us, Martin instilled in us, Ella Baker instilled in us, so many. Shirley Chisholm, you talked about being unbought. We're unbought and unbossed here with What's at Stake and WPFW. 800-222-9739, 1:40 to go.
Yes, yes. And, we're unbought, we're unbossed, and we're unbound, and we are going to stay in this fight. We are in the fight of our lives, folks, for the democracy of this country. And if you are hearing us for the first time, join our family. We are a lifeline for community connections. WPFW is more than just a radio station. It's actually a sanctuary for community, a place where people come together, share resources and strengthen bonds and keep each other sane an era of increasing division and uncertainty. Go to the phones right now. Let this be your first time, but don't let it be the last time. 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. Make the call. We need you. Make the call.
140 to go, folks. 6 minutes. Six minutes to do it. 800-222-9739. WPFWFM.org. You can continue to call after the program. Let's make sure that Verna makes this goal. Ah, Verna, very quickly. We want to say, I know I get so excited. We want to say thank you to Stephanie pushing us over.
Oh, thank you.
And she says thank this you. Message is needed at this time more than ever, Stephanie. And that's thank you for understanding that. So thank keep the calls coming, 800-222-9739. Thank you, Verna. It's always an honor and a pleasure to be with you, my sister.
Thank you, Katia. The pleasure is all mine. Thank you to Gary and Sheila, to Joan, to Faye, to Scott, and to Stephanie. We appreciate your support. We need you, and welcome to an awesome community, WPFW. Well, that's this week's edition of What's at Stake. Next week, Dr. Marcia Coleman Adebayo with some exciting news. And thank you for your generous contributions. And thank you for listening. You are actually our raison d'etre. We're in this together. Thanks to our engineer extraordinaire, Michael Nasella. I'm Verna Avery Brown. Up next, Wake Up and Stay Woke with Dr. E. Faye Williams.
Hola mi gente, soy Oscar Fernandez del Latino Media Collective en WPFW, aquí para decirle a ustedes que todas las personas en los Estados Unidos tienen derechos independientemente de su estado migratorio y conociendo nuestros derechos es el primer paso para mantenernos a distancia de las violaciones de nuestros derechos como ICE y otras fuerzas de orden. Por eso le presento una guía para proteger sus derechos. Número 1. Identifique los contactos de emergencia y memorice sus números. Número 2. Mantenga la calma si se acerca el ICE u otras fuerzas del orden. No corra, discuta, resista ni pelea. Número 3. Tenemos el derecho a permanecer en silencio. Número 4. Tiene derecho a hablar con un abogado y no firmar nada hasta que lo discuta con un abogado. Número 5. Si está en su casa, tiene derecho a negarse a entrar a menos que se le presente una orden judicial firmada por un juez. Una orden de ICE no permite la entrada a su casa. Y finalmente, número 6, usted tiene derecho a un intérprete. WPFW está aquí defendiendo los derechos humanos ganados con dificultad, construyendo un mundo más justo, transmisión a transmisión.
For close to 50 years, WPFW has amplified the voices, told the stories, and shared the history and culture of Black people throughout the diaspora. In short, we are Black history. Black is WPFW. Texting WPFWFM to 801-801 will help to protect this medium in the Black radical tradition so that we can continue to chronicle Black hope, sorrow, and resistance.
Diversity Fund is a grassroots grant source for changemakers of color in the nation's capital. We fund social justice work by and for D.C. people of the global majority. The deadline for submissions is Friday, March 21st. Details and application information are available at www.diversityfund.org. You can send questions to info@diversityfund.org. Upcoming info session dates and recordings are accessible online at www.diversityfund.org. The phone number for further information is 202-743-0130. That's 202-743-0130.
Whether it's the courage to tell the truth about displacement, apartheid, and genocide, or our commitment to presenting jazz and all of its extensions, as well as other liberatory musical forms, blues, hip-hop, house, WPFW has been an unwavering partner in the fight for social justice and the preservation of the culture. Now's the time for you to display your courage and commitment to truly independent press by donating during our winter pledge drive from February 9th through the 22nd. It is with your generous financial support that WPFW, this emancipatory educational media outlet, continues to build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Award-winning former police officer and criminal justice adjunct professor Garland Nix